This morning I just want to speak a very simple word, probably a short word, but it's just something that God has really made alive in my heart. And so I just thank the Lord for His living word to His people. This morning I want to talk to you about Anna's hunger. Anna's hunger. Go with me to the book of Luke chapter 2. Starting with verse 36. Verse 36 says, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spoke of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." Let's just pray. Lord, we love You this morning. And Father, I just pray, Lord, with the same life, God, that You spoke this into my heart, Father. I pray that it would just, we would hear it in our hearts. God, You would speak something into our lives. God, this is a very simple message. But God, I just pray, Lord, that You would birth something, Lord. And Father, I want to thank You for the opportunity, Lord, just to open up truths out of Your word, Lord, through this precious saint of God named Anna. Father, I haven't preached upon our life, Lord, but one other time. And God, every time I read this story about Anna, Lord, I just feel in my heart I am on very sacred ground, very holy ground. And Father, I just thank You for the opportunity this morning, Lord, to speak from this woman's life. And God, I do pray, Lord, that You would just help me speak it, convey it with Your heart. God, we love You and we give You all honor and glory for everything that You're doing in our life. God, we give You all honor and we give You all glory. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In Luke chapter 2, we have what we call the Christmas story according to the Gospel of Luke. And the portion of Scripture that we just read, we find Mary and Joseph in the temple with baby Jesus to circumcise Him according to the law, to fulfill the law. And in this portion of Scripture, Luke chapter 2, we find two people, two wonderful saints of God named Simeon and Anna, who have the same thing in their heart. They've come to see the same thing. There's something that's in their heart. And again, it's Anna and Simeon. And in this portion of Scripture that we read about a lady, a dear saint of God named Anna. And I just want to look at some truths that the Lord has really opened up to my heart and just share them with you. And God's going to speak to us today. And the first thing that I want us to see is in Luke chapter 2, the Bible tells us that Anna was a widow of about 60 years, 84. In some years you add that up, that's about 60 years. And so she was a widow about 60 years. And the first thing Luke is careful to tell us is that she was a prophetess. She was a prophetess. Now, let me just give you this, and we'll get into the heart of the message in a minute. But the word prophetess is actually a Greek word, and it means a divinely inspired speaker. It means one who speaks by divine inspiration. So, in other words, Anna was a woman who had the living word of God shut up in her heart. Anna was a woman who the Lord spoke to her heart through His word. The word of God richly indwelt within this woman's heart in her life. She was a prophetess. Now, with that thought in mind, let's just ask a question. Well, why is this so important in our story? Why is this so important in this woman's life whose name is Anna? Well, I want you to look at verse 36 and 37. I just want to share with you something simple that the Lord just brought out in my heart, just spoke so real within my life. Look at verse 36 and 37. It says, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. So let's just stop there. So the Bible tells us that she was a widow 7 years from her virginity. So in other words, she had married a husband, and only after 7 years of marriage, her husband died. And this is what the Lord just began to minister to my heart. This lady Anna wasn't a stranger to grief. She wasn't a stranger to heartache and anguish. She wasn't a stranger to disappointment. She had married a man. She had married a husband. And after 7 years of marriage, this man died. This man passed away. So she wasn't a stranger to disappointment. But the thing about it is, in times of her grief, she looked to the Lord. And she looked to the Word of God. In times of grief and in times of disappointment, she allowed the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to comfort her heart. In times of great tragedy, Anna didn't become bitter and angry at the Lord. But she looked to the Lord and she looked to the Word of God. And in her time of struggle and in her time of tragedy, she found that there was comfort in the Word of God. She found that there was strength for her soul in the Word of God. Psalm 119 verse 50 says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, even thy word which comforts me." In times of tragedy, the Lord doesn't promise us that He's going to give us all the answers that we're looking for. He doesn't promise us that He's going to answer all of our questions. But the Lord does promise us in His Word that He does love us with a love that cannot be measured. And the Lord does promise in His Word that He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And the Lord does promise in His Word that when we turn to Him in our time of need, in our time of grief, in our time of disappointment, the Lord does promise that He will have a word that will give us strength. He will have a word that will comfort our hearts. And I really seen this in Anna's life, just that one word. She was a prophetess. And she was a widow. And I saw how the Word of God and how the disappointment and the grief of God was there. But it was in her times of grief that she didn't become bitter at the Lord. And she didn't allow all of her questions to harden her heart. But she began to look to the Lord and she began to look to His Word. And she found that the Word of God was a strength to her heart. And the Word of God was the very life that she needed to make it through her time. Understand, through the Word of God, Anna acquired a relationship with God that was priceless and precious and very deep and very intimate. And in my walk with God, I have seen this very thing in the lives of the saints of God. I have seen this in the lives of saints of God. How that in their times of tragedy, in times of struggle, in times of great disappointment, instead of becoming bitter at the Lord, they begin to look to the Lord. And they begin to look to the Word of God. And it was in that place that they came into a deeper intimacy with God. That in their time of struggle and in their time of trial, in their time of suffering, they begin to lean upon the Lord and they begin to seek the Lord in His Word. And it actually brought them to a deeper place of intimacy with the Lord. And this is what's going on with Anna's life. Beloved, we may not always know why saints suffer. But the one thing I have seen in saints who have suffered, that have continued to walk with God and continue to look to the Lord and not lose their devotion and not lose their heart to the Lord, but to look for God and His strength. I have seen through the lives of those suffering saints that there is such a tender presence upon their life. There is such a precious and a priceless presence upon their life because they found even a deeper intimacy with God through their suffering and through their grief. Because of Anna's deep love and devotion for the Lord, God put something in her soul that was absolutely priceless. Because of her deep love and loyalty to God, the Lord placed something in her heart that a price could not be put upon. In Anna's heart and soul, God put a divine hunger in her. God put a divine ache in her heart that compelled her to a life of prayer and fasting and seeking the Lord. Brothers and sisters, God put something in her heart. God put this ache in her heart. And it's this, it was this ache and this, it was this hunger that drove her, that compelled her to a life of relentless prayer and fasting and seeking after the Lord. God put something in her heart. What was that divine hunger? What was that divine ache that God put within her heart? Well, look at Luke chapter 2 and look at verse 38. It says, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spoke of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. It says, and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So for 60 years, this lady was in this temple praying and fasting because there was something God put in her heart. There was an ache that God put in her heart. There was something that God put in her heart that she desired to see. And she lived a life of consecrated and relentless prayer and fasting and seeking after the Lord. What was it that God put in her heart? What was that hunger and ache God put in her heart? It's simply this. We read it in Luke chapter 2:38. And it was to see the redemption of her people. It was to see the Messiah that Moses and the prophets had foretold that was coming, that was going to redeem the people of God, that was going to bring salvation and hope and deliverance to the people of God. God put that hunger, that ache into her heart, and she began to pray, as we saw, and she began to fast, and she began to seek the Lord. Anna may not have understood it all. Anna may not have understood. Looking down at the baby Jesus, she sees the answers to her prayer. She finally sees the answers to her prayer. And looking down at the baby Jesus, she may not understand it all. She may not understand the cross. She may not understand the resurrection. But what she did understand was she was looking at God's plan of redemption. She knew that she was looking at the answer of so many years of agonizing in the temple and in prayer. She knew that she was looking to the answers of her prayer. She knew that she was looking to the very thing that God had put in her heart and caused her heart to hunger and caused her soul to ache and caused her to seek the Lord and to pray and seek the face of the Lord. She was looking at it. Understand. God put such a hunger in Anna's heart and soul to see something that it compelled her to a life of prayer and fasting and seeking the face of the Lord. God put such an ache in Anna's heart that the world had nothing that could soothe that ache, and all the superficial religion that surrounded her could not comfort that ache. When I read those words, and she departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day, one word comes to my mind. That's the word focus. Anna was so dead to the world. Anna was so dead to the things of the world. Anna was so dead to the things that the world can use to distract the hearts of the saints of God. Anna was so dead to everything. Anna was so consumed by the kingdom of God. Anna was so consumed by what God was doing in her generation because God put a hunger in her heart. A hunger that couldn't be soothed by the world and its distractions and all of its toys. God put an ache in her heart that couldn't be comforted by all the superficial religion around her. There was only one thing that could comfort her heart, and that was the place of prayer and seeking the face of God. When I read that scripture, she departed not from the temple night and day, but served the Lord night and day with prayers and fasting. One word comes to my mind. She was focused. She was consumed by this kingdom. She was dead to the world. Because God put something in her heart. Now right here someone might be thinking, Pastor Tim, 60 years is a long time to wait upon a fulfillment to something God has put in your heart. That is almost a lifetime to hunger and ache and thirst after something God has planted in your heart. 60 years is a long time to hunger and thirst and ache to see something God has put in your heart. And you're right. 60 years is almost an entire lifetime. But this is what the Lord ministered to my heart. It was the mercy of God. God put a hunger and an ache in her heart that kept her from a lifetime of mediocrity, that kept her from a lifetime of apathy, that kept her from a lifetime of spiritual pride, that kept her from a lifetime of living for herself, that kept her for a lifetime of living for her own personal desires. It was the mercy of God, this hunger she had. Now, I just want to share with you my heart. Sitting in churches this morning all across America, and I don't say this to be critical, I'm just saying this as the Lord has inspired this message. But sitting in churches all across America are literally multitudes of people who really have no passion for Christ. If you was to really look in their heart, they really have no real, true, deep devotion and love for the Lord. And if you was to watch their lives, you would see so many places in their heart and lives absolutely living for self. And when I begin to think about this, there just comes a cry that comes into my heart, and that's simply this cry: oh God, never let me lose my hunger for Christ. Never let me lose my focus because I've gotten distracted by things in the world. God, always keep my heart aflame for Christ. God, let the only desire that consumes my heart be to be in the will of God and simply to live out His perfect plan for my life. Don't let any other distraction take the throne of my heart. I would rather die than live a life of mediocrity. I think I would rather die and just go home and be with Jesus than to live for anything but His perfect will for my life. There comes a cry, oh God, I'm looking to Your mercy because I can't keep that hunger in my heart. And I can't keep that desire in my heart. Only by the mercy and the grace of God can You keep that alive in my heart, God. But like Anna, who was a prophetess, who had the Word of God in her heart, God has put a word in my heart, and I just want to share it with you this morning. It is a word that keeps my heart hungry. It is a word that keeps my heart stirred. And I just want to share that with you. I want to look at this. I want to go to two passages of Scripture. This is a lifelong word. I call this a lifelong word. From the moment I got saved, God put this word in my heart. And this word has kept me hungry for the Lord. And by the mercy of God, this word is going to keep me hungry. And it's not just for me, it's for all saints. But this word will keep us hungry until the day Jesus comes and takes us home. But it's a lifelong word. I'm going to look at two passages of Scripture. Go with me to Psalm 145, and then go with me to Romans chapter 11. This is very simple. But just hear it in your heart this morning. Psalm 145 and Romans chapter 11. I'm going to read two scriptures. It's Psalm 145, verse 3. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. It says, and His greatness is unsearchable. It says, and His greatness is unsearchable. Go with me to Romans chapter 11, verse 33. It says, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. It says, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Brothers and sisters, very simply put, both these scriptures say one thing. God is unsearchable. In other words, what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter how intimate you and I are with the Lord. There's always a deeper place. Doesn't matter what God reveals to us and shows us about Himself through His Word and through our walk and our circumstances. There's always more about God. There's always more that God wants to reveal to us to draw us closer to His heart. God is unsearchable. And brothers and sisters, this is the Scripture. This is the one truth that God has used to keep my heart hungry. God, there's always more of Jesus to have. God, there's always more of Jesus. There's always a deeper place in Christ to walk in. God, there's always a greater depth of intimacy to go. And brothers and sisters, it's been that very simple truth right there that has kept my heart hungry for the Lord. This is the hunger that keeps me. God, there is a deeper place. There is a deeper place of intimacy that I haven't come into yet. There is a deeper walk with God. God, I'm hungry for more of Jesus because I know there's a deeper place with the Lord. And I'm not talking about striving. I'm talking about having a hunger in your heart for God. It's this hunger that keeps me in prayer. It's this hunger that keeps the saints of God in the Word. It's this hunger that keeps us from becoming bitter when God allows suffering and trials into our lives. Suffering only causes us to lean more upon Him. Trials only cause us to lean more upon His strength. And it's this hunger and this cry in the heart that keeps the heart from becoming bitter in times of great trial, in times of great sacrifice, in times of great suffering, because you know God is about to show you something else through it about His heart. Brothers and sisters, there are things about God's heart that only suffering can reveal. How can you know Jesus is a friend who sticks closer than a brother unless you've ever been forsaken? How can you truly know and walk in the comfort of the Holy Ghost unless your heart has truly been broken? But there are things that only suffering can make real in your heart about God. But it's this hunger in the heart of the saint to know God that says, God, all the trials and all the tribulations is worth going through because when I come out of this, there's a deeper place in Christ I'm going to find in the Lord. This hunger. I don't want my hunger. I don't want my focus to be distracted by this world and its toys and its distractions. When there's always another place in God, a deeper place in God, I can go, God, I want to be hungry for Christ. Hunger. Anna had this hunger. She had this divine ache. And this world and its distractions and mediocre religion could not comfort that hunger. Only Christ could comfort that hunger. Now I want to end with this. This is what I feel like I need to end with. And it's a word that has brought me much comfort. Anna's name, I love this, is a Hebrew origin. And her name literally means grace. Grace. And I love how when we read about the wonderful and great saints of God in the Bible, I love how the Lord can always bring this truth out, that it is by grace. Brothers and sisters, it can be so easy to read about these great saints of God through the Bible and in your own strength try to begin to imitate their walk with God. In your own strength begin to try to imitate the qualities in their life and in their heart that shine. It would be so easy to read Luke chapter 2 about how Anna went into the temple day and night and she prayed and fasted day and night for 60 years, such a relentless hunger in her heart for the Lord. And it would be so easy to try in your own strength to imitate her life of prayer and fasting. But your own strength is only doomed to fail. God's not asking His people to try to imitate Anna or the other characters in the Bible and the things that shine in their life. He's not asking His people to try to imitate Daniel's integrity. He's not asking His people to try and imitate Joseph's purity. He's not asking His people to, in their own strength, to try and imitate Samuel's life of intercession for the body of Christ. That's not what He asks His people. What He asks His people is simply this, "Holy, give me your heart. And I will make you into the manner of the woman that I have designed you to be. Holy, give me your heart, because it's me who works in your life both to will and to do of my good pleasure." I'm not asking you to imitate these people in your own strength. Your own strength is doomed to fail. As we heard with Roger this morning, there is a walk with God. But our part is to wholly give our heart over to the Lord and say, God, you work in my heart and you make me the man and woman I've designed you to be. It would be so easy, like we heard Roger this morning, to look at Luke chapter 2 and look at Anna's consecration and look at her prayer and fasting and feel, you know, like, God, I just don't measure up. God's not asking you to measure up. God's just asking, give me your heart without reserve, and I'll make you everything I've designed to be. I felt like I had to end it with that. Because two things can happen when you look at Anna. Number one, we can feel condemned because I just do not measure up to her walk. Or secondly, get in our own strength and try to measure up to her walk. God says, no, all I'm looking for is a heart that's wholly yielded to me, and I will work in your life what according to my will and my pleasure. I love that. Took me a lot of years failing in my own strength to understand that. But I understand that. And once you just begin to look to God and His grace will begin to carry you in places you never could go. Because now it's not in your strength, it's simply looking to the Lord. Stand with me this morning. It's going to be a very simple altar call. Just bow your heads with me this morning. Just looking over the life of Anna, a few things that we talked about. I feel like maybe there's someone here this morning and maybe you've just walked through a great tragedy like Anna. Maybe you're in a trial. Maybe you've just experienced a great disappointment. God wants you to know this morning that if you will look to Him and you will look to His Word, He has a word that will strengthen your heart. And He has a word that will heal your heart. He may not answer all of your questions about why and how, but He does want you to know this morning that He loves you. And you can never question His love because of the cross. And if you'll just take all your hurt and pains and disappointments to the Lord, begin to lean upon Him, He does have a word for you that will bring your joy back, bring your strength back, bring your heart to live back. God has a word for you if you will look to the Lord. And secondly, maybe there's someone here, going back to what Roger said, you just look at your own walk with God and you just feel so disappointed by your own weaknesses. But God wants you to begin to readjust your focus, take your focus off of your weaknesses and again put it upon God's grace. God is doing a good work in your heart. He's doing a good work in your life. And maybe this morning you just want to come to the altar and say, God, I want to put my eyes back upon the grace of God. Lord, you are doing a good work in my life. And God, I just ask you to comfort my heart and encourage my heart. You're doing a good work. And then there may be some people here, and this is the altar call I had to make. God, I want to be so consumed by Christ. I want this Anna heart. I want to be so consumed by Christ that I am absolutely dead to this world, so alive to the kingdom of God, and so alive to what God is doing in my generation. I want this kind of focus. I want to be absolutely consumed by Christ and dead to this world. But I know I can't do that in my own strength. But I'm looking to the grace of God this morning. So brothers and sisters, if you fit in that altar call, let's just come to the altar now. And whatever it is you're here for, whatever it is you need, just begin to pour your heart out to the Lord. Begin to pour your heart out to God. And God's going to comfort your heart. God's going to assure your heart. And God's going to say, I hear those cries of consecration, a fresh consecration. A fresh consecration. And I'm going to move upon your heart again. If you've been feeling indifferent or apathy coming into your heart, please make this altar call if God's speaking. God, rekindle my passion again. God, renew my focus again. I want this Anna heart by the grace of God, by your working in my life. I want to be so consumed by Christ and so dead to this world. God, do your work in my heart. It's not by might or power, only by the grace of God. And we totally look to your mercy. God, we totally abandon ourselves to your mercy. God, consume my heart. Paul said it best. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And if you're here this morning and you've given the Lord your heart and you've given him your will, and your prayer is not my will be done through my life, God. God's grace is wonderfully working in your heart, wonderfully working in your life. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this. The Lord wants you to be confident. He doesn't want you to be disappointed and discouraged. He wants you to be confident. Being confident of this, that he which begun a good work in me will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. So be confident that until Jesus comes every day, God is working in your heart, in your life. Be confident. And if you're here this morning and you're just walking through a time of disappointment, maybe a time of tragedy, God loves you with all of his heart. And if you'll look to him in his word, he does have a word for you. He will strengthen your heart. He will renew your joy. He will give you a desire to live again for the purposes of God. Just trust the Lord this morning and lean upon him, because he wants to be your strength when you have no strength this morning. And if you've come this morning with just a cry that says, God, I just want more of Christ. Renew my hunger. Renew my focus. That cry comes from the Lord. That's not out of your own heart. And if God has birthed that cry, he's going to do that cry, because that is his cry. So this morning, I just want you to go out comforted. And I want you to go out confident. God is doing a good work. Now let me pray. Lord, I just pray. God, I pray for those, Lord. I don't know the situations going on in their life. But God, maybe there's someone here who's just experienced a great disappointment. God, I just pray that they would look to you, Lord. Lord, they would allow you. They would sit in your presence, God, and they would allow you to hold them and to comfort them like a father. And God, to speak words of life to their heart. God, I remember as a child in my own father's arms, my natural father, God, in his arms, and just hearing him speak into my life in times of, Lord, disappointment, God. Father, I pray that they would just come to you, God, and you would cradle their hearts. And God, you would speak to them and you would heal their hearts. And God, you would reassure them, God, that, God, you are doing something in their life. And God, we may be disappointed, but God, you have a plan. And disappointments do not forfeit the plan of God. And you're going to be glorified, and you're going to heal our hearts. You're going to renew our strength. God, you're going to renew our joy. God, as we look to you, Lord. And Father, I pray for those that have come, Lord, and they just feel in their heart that they're falling so short. God, I never want to take away repentance. God, if there's an area that we need to repent in, I pray that we would repent. God, but I do pray, Lord, that as we are just sincere with you, God, you would come and you would comfort our hearts. God, you are doing a good work. And God, for those that are just under condemnation, Lord, God, they're just under condemnation. I pray that you would break that condemnation with the truth of your word. God, that you are doing a good work, conforming us into the image of Christ through every circumstance, situation of our life. God, you are doing a work in our heart, God. And Father, I pray for those that have come, Lord, God, just asking for a renewal hunger. Or God, that you would just protect the hunger that is in our hearts. God, I pray that we would walk out comforted, God. Lord, you are giving us a focus. God, you are putting a hunger in our hearts, and with that hunger, God, in dry times, we can have that hunger. God, in times when your presence is upon us like rain, we can have that hunger. God, it would be that hunger in our hearts, God, that would just keep us focused upon Christ. Dead to this world and alive to what you are doing. totally focused to what you are doing in our generation. God, you are doing something in our generation. God, keep our hearts hungry. Put that divine ache in our heart for more of Jesus, God, for more of His burden in His heart. Now, God, we thank you for everything that you've done in this service. We love you, Lord, and we just give you glory and honor. Amen. Brothers and sisters, if you'll just stand with me this morning.